Exodus chapter 18. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. When Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back. I don't know exactly when Moses sent his wife Zipporah back. They had a little bit of an altercation. It was kind of an ugly scene when they were first on the way to Egypt, where she circumcised their son and whipped the foreskin down at Moses' feet in anger and really belittled the religion of Almighty God in the course of doing it. And perhaps it was then when Moses sent her back. I don't know, but obviously they did not get along real well. Verse 3, and her two sons, of which the name of the one was Gershom, for he said, I have been an alien in a strange land. And the name of the other was Eliezer, for the God of my father said he was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. So Moses named his sons after important events and circumstances in his life. Verse 5, and Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moses into the wilderness, where he encamped at the Mount of God. So Jethro shows up with Moses' wife, who he has not seen for a long time, and also with his two sons. And it says in verse 6, and he said to Moses, I, your father-in-law Jethro, am come to you, and your wife, and her two sons with her. Now, Moses, in verse 7, the Bible says that he went out to meet his father-in-law and did obeisance. In other words, he bowed down to him and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare, and they came into the tent. Now, maybe I shouldn't read too much into this, but given the overall context of their relationship thus far, I can't help but notice how it doesn't say that Moses greeted his wife. He greeted his father-in-law, asked how he was doing, but there's no mention of him greeting his wife. I'm not sure that his marriage was a very happy one. And that was because he walked with the Lord. Had to be, because Moses was a great man. And if him and his wife were not getting along, it was over the fact that Moses was completely dedicated to God. Verse 8. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. So Moses fills his father-in-law in on everything. You know, the Red Sea thing, the hunger, the thirst, the complaining, the miracles that God had shown them thus far, including the manna and the quail and the water from the rock. I mean, there was a lot to talk about. Verse 9, and Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. So Jethro, he was a priest of God, and he worshiped God, and he understood, he celebrated God right along with Moses. Now, these things had not happened to him, but yet he celebrates over the fact that God had blessed Moses and his people. He recognized God's greatness and his blessing, as we see in verse 10. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord, who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. So he praised God and recognized his greatness. Verse 11, now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, for in the thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. Jethro, if there was any doubt in Jethro's mind whose God was God, that's been taken care of after he heard the testimony of Moses which amounted to the word of God? That's because Jethro obviously had a heart for God, so he responded positively to the word of God, and it drew him closer to Almighty God. 12. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God, and Aaron came and all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. So here you see friends and relatives enjoying themselves together. They're having a feast, and God is a big part of the celebration. You know, I think holidays and celebrations of all kinds are nice, but they are not nearly as rich as they could be if the people involved do not know the Lord and therefore exclude him from conversation and celebration. 13. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from morning till evening. Moses was a busy man. He was the judge. He communicated the word of God to God's people, and when there was a dispute, he settled it by the word of the Lord. And, well, let's just look at verse 14. Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people. He said, "What is this thing that you do to the people? Why sit you yourself alone, and all the people stand by you from morning till evening? So why don't you have some help doing this, Moses?" 15, and Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God." Well, because I have a connection with God. I know the word of God. And I know the law of God. And they come to me for arbitration. And I make a decision based on what God says is right. And that's why, and I suppose nobody else was qualified to do it as well as Moses. It says in verse 16, "When they have a matter, they come to me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws." So they just present their case. Moses makes a decision based on the word of God, and that's that. End of the issue. There's no appealing. It's just it. You follow God, or don't waste my time, right? Verse 17, "Moses' father-in-law said to him, 'The thing that you do is not good.'" Not that he was doing wrong by declaring to the people the word of God and making a decision based on that word. That's not the issue. 18, "You will surely wear away, both you and this people that is with you, for this thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to perform it yourself alone." It's just that Moses' workload was too heavy, and Jethro could see that. Sometimes it takes an outsider to pick out things that we are involved in and we don't even recognize are not good for us or not good, period. So, Jethro, in verse 19, "Hearken now to my voice. I will give you counsel, and God shall be with you. Be for the people to Godward, that you may bring the causes to God." So don't quit doing what you're doing. But I'm going to give you some advice on how you might be able to do it better. 20. "And you shall teach them ordinances and laws, and show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do." Continue to teach the word of God. That's first and foremost. That's foundational. 21, "Moreover, you shall provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them, to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, and rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens." Have some people below you who love God and walk with the Lord, men of integrity before the Lord, and let them help you out. Let them be lower court judges, as it were. And that's what this is amounting to, because verse 22, Jethro says, "And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they shall judge. So it shall be easier for you yourself, and they shall bear the burden with you." So, you know, there's a lot of disputes and questions that can be answered by these other men. If they know the Lord and they have a working knowledge of the word of God, then they can settle a lot of these issues. But if the issue is too difficult, well, yeah, then bring it to Moses, because he knows more about the word of God than anybody else. But only bring those difficult cases to Moses. So he's going to delegate his workload, and that's the way to do it. I think it is wrong for any spiritual leader to try to micromanage everybody's life. I don't see that in Scripture at all. You let the Holy Spirit work with people and get some help from other godly men and women. And it says in verse 24, Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. So he saw the wisdom in it. 25, and Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard causes they brought to Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And I think it's interesting that the founding fathers of this country had such a great respect for the Word of God. And they patterned the Constitution to a great degree on the Word of God. And if you look at our judicial system that they set up, the judicial branch, it looks pretty much like this. Follow the biblical pattern. Verse 27, and Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land. So Moses' close walk with God caused him to be humble enough to consider the advice of his father-in-law, Jethro. Godly person doesn't need to have all the answers, you know? And even an exalted leader like Moses, who has stood in the presence of God, was humble enough to take advice from others. You don't have to have all the answers to be a good leader. And you're not threatened by the fact that you don't know everything if you're a good leader. If you're a good leader, you seek wise counsel, especially from God and godly people. Doesn't mean you have to accept everything that everybody says, but prayerfully consider it.